Tonight is the last part of the Halachot Shabbat, and we are going to be off for about a few weeks. Then I'll be start January again. We're going to send out a notice when the class starts again. Today's class is combination of a lot of halachot that we didn't talk about. It's not going to be only one. It's a lot of different halachot that is very nogeya for Shabbat, very applicable for Shabbat. That's what I'm going to talk about. First of all, I'm going to go from one subject to another subject to another. So it's not going to be in order fashion. It's going to be all over. One is not allowed to wash themselves with hot water on Shabbat. Obviously, using a hot water is asur. One is not allowed to open a faucet of hot water. And also, one is not allowed to take a shower, even if the water was ready before Shabbat, and there was a hot water, you turned off the radiator, and the water was there before Shabbat, and they are not going to cook anything on Shabbat, still one is not allowed to wash themselves with hot water. Now, what happens if you need to wash the children, the young children, that they need to be washed? You are allowed to wash them with a lukewarm water as long as you don't wash the whole body. Could wash the rova guf, most of the body, but not the whole body. And the only time that you are allowed to wash a child completely with the hot water that was cooked before Shabbat, ready before Shabbat, only if it's for the health reasons, the child needs to be washed. Then you are allowed to do that. If the water is ready before Shabbat, obviously the hot water. Now the question really comes up when you have Shabbat and Yom Tov next to each other. Then the question is, when should you? You can't have kids to have 2 or 3 days before washing. Then the best thing is to wash them on Yom Tov rather than washing them on Shabbat. Then again, all that halachot, everything that I said, obviously one has to be careful not to squeeze the hair, and also when you're using the towel, it has to be padding. You should not use towels that you are going to squeeze water from them. Swimming on Shabbat is asur. One is not allowed to swim on Shabbat, and that somebody might say that I'm worried, I'm going to be careful not to squeeze, and I'm going to have a bathing suit that is made of nylon and all that. Still, one should not do that, because often the hole is not a Shabbatic thing for somebody to do, and it's not a proper thing for Shabbat to be swimming. Even though there is a roof and everything is set up, one should not swim on Shabbat. From the halacha point of view, one is allowed to wash themselves with a cold water. And there was somebody who wants to take a cold shower on Shabbat. From the halachic point of view, is okay. As long as, again, you're careful of making sure that you are not going to squeeze your hair and the towel and everything else. But the minhag is, the custom is, that one should not even wash, should not use cold water, should not take a cold shower on Shabbat also, because of once you start doing that, it's not a Shabbat thing to do, to take a shower. It's not a proper thing to do. The women that they go to mikveh on Friday night, they are allowed to use hot water. Also, they have to be careful that not to squeeze their hair on Shabbat. There are people that say that they should not use hot water for the mikveh on Friday night, but we don't pass in like that. You are allowed to use hot water. If the water is hot, you are allowed to use it for Shabbat. Another halacha that is asur on Shabbat is Ashma'at Kol. Ashma'at Kol is that you are not, the Chachamim, they made a takana that one is not allowed to listen to music on Shabbat, and thus you are not allowed to use anything, or you are not allowed to bang on anything that makes a music sound, because you might come and metaken kelishir. That means that you might come and fix a music instrument. Therefore, one should not use in any form or shape any music type, any music stuff or music instruments on Shabbat. Now, this halacha, obviously, nobody is going to use a drum or violin or things like that. That for sure is asur. But there are other ways that one could make noise, could make a music noise. For instance, the obvious the question that really comes out is somebody could use a door clapper. They say, so you want to knock at somebody's door, and this door, no, they call them door clapper. What, I don't know what they call them.
Door knocker.
Door knocker. Is are you allowed to use them on Shabbat? The thing is that those knockers, is really made to just knock and to get somebody to open the door for you, and doesn't make any music sound. But the minhag is for Sephardim is okay, it's not a problem. We could use them. The minhag is by Ashkenazim that some people use it, some people don't use it. And therefore, if you are in a situation that somebody might not hear that you are at the door, the only way you could get somebody to open the door for you by using that door knocker, then you are allowed to use it. But otherwise, you should try not to use them. But if somebody uses their hand to knock at the door, but if you use it in a way that is going to make a nice sound, like a music sound, that also one should not use that also to knock at somebody's door. The other application of this halacha would be if you have toys that make noise for children, you should not give them to play with them on Shabbat. But what happens that the only type of toys that you have is the toys that make noise, or they have beautiful noise. Each one of them has something to, they offer different music sounds. If the child takes it and plays with it, you don't have to stop them, but l'chatechila should provide toys for them that they don't make the music sound. Also, the another application of tzalach is one is not allowed to dance, one is not allowed to clap, like let's say you are singing on Friday night, or singing on Shabbat, or is a chatan bekalah, or there's a breeze, or you want to dance, or sheva brachos, you are not allowed to dance also on Shabbat. The minhag is by Ashkenazim that they are maker, they do that, you know, for whatever reason. That's the minhag, but a lot of Ashkenazim don't do it either. Therefore, one should try not to, if somebody needs to clap, they should do it in an indirect way. Or if somebody wants to dance, as a dancing, you could walk, but as long as you don't dance, then that's also fine. But if you want to applaud somebody, let's say you want to clap for somebody, somebody said a nice thing, everybody is going to clap for them, that is mutar, because that's not considered a derech shir, that's not considered in the musical way, and that's okay to do that. Whistling on Shabbat is mutar. It's not a problem of somebody wants to whistle and walk around, that's fine. I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but that's okay, it's not a problem. These are the applications that really would apply for Ashma'at Kol. Next, using perfumes on Shabbat, one is not allowed to use perfumes if you put them on your clothing, but if you put it on your body, that is okay. Or any perfume, it's not necessarily perfume, any sprays also would be the same thing. Air fresheners, somebody needs to use air fresheners, as long as you don't put them on something, just put in the air, that is okay, you are allowed to use that also on Shabbat. The next halacha is that the next one that we're going to talk about is a very important halacha, which is very applicable to everybody. If somebody walks in, let's say you want to buy a house, you want to buy a car, and you take a walk in La Vista Road, and you see a house, you see a car, you stand there and look at the car and see if the car is good for me, is that a car I want to buy, or just mitbonen, you are just paying attention to these objects because you want to buy them, that is not allowed to be done on Shabbat, because the Torah says "Mumsochef secha v'daber davar." There are only things that is Shabbistic one is allowed to look into, and even talking. The talking also has to be things that is not divrei chol. You are not allowed to talk things that is not proper for Shabbat either. Therefore, when somebody looks at stuff that they want to buy during the week, that's not a proper, even if you are not looking at the price, just looking at the house outside or looking at the car outside, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, tomorrow I'm going to come ask, find out what the soul of this house is not a proper thing to do on Shabbat. That's right. You can. If you are not buying in, it's not a problem. Also, let's say you're walking around your house and you want to fix your kitchen, you want to fix your basement, walk around the house, you're going to say, we're going to make addition here. I'm going to put addition there. Or even you're looking at outside and you're saying, you know what, we're going to put a sukkah here. So we have a nice porch. The sukkah should be right here, sukkah should be right there. Anything that is melacha asuran Shabbat. And in order to do that melacha, you have to use the act that is not permissible on Shabbat. You are not allowed to think about it, not look at it, and figure out these type of things on Shabbat in order to do it during the week. But if, let's say, you want to talk about stuff, by the sukkah, would be mutar. The reason for sukkah is mutar, because anything has to do with mitzvah, then you are allowed to look at it, you are allowed to talk about it, and you are allowed to figure out what to do. Let's say you want to go to a devar mitzvah, Motzei Shabbat, and you want to take a bus. You go to the bus stop and stand by the bus stop for the autobus to come right before Shabbat finishes, you are allowed to do that. If you're going to Lesorech Mitzvah, if you are not going to Lesorech Mitzvah, then you are not allowed to do that either. Also, Chazal, they asked for us to Ledaber Divrei Chol, Ledaber Davar, only you are allowed to talk Devarim, things that is proper on Shabbat. Therefore, anything that you are not allowed to do on Shabbat, you are not allowed to talk about it also on Shabbat. The example would be, you're going to say to somebody, you know what, remind me, I need to call this guy tonight. I need to buy loaves of bread tonight. I need to go to Kroger tonight, and I need to do this and that tonight. And all these things are really assured to be done on Shabbat. When you talk about it, that's also not proper thing to do. Or say, no, tomorrow I need to go to so-and-so place, I need to take a train tomorrow, I need to get a plane tomorrow, and I need to go with my car tomorrow to this place and that place. That's also one is not allowed to say it on Shabbat. But you are allowed to say, I need to go somewhere tomorrow. But you don't say that I need to go with the car or with the train or with the bus. If it says that I need to go somewhere, then you are allowed to do that. Also, one is not allowed to say that you are not allowed to talk to somebody about buying something. Let's say your friend bought a dress, and you want to talk to them, where did they buy it, how much they pay for it, and they give you all the information. That also you are not allowed to do that either. But one is allowed to talk about things that already did. Let's say you bought a dress, and you bought it, wherever you bought it from, and the person that's asking you, they are not interested to buy that dress. They are talking about that you bought the dress. You are allowed to that. Or you were in New York, and New York was nice, and you're talking about that you being in New York, and you went here and you went there, you want to tell them where you went, that's also mutar. Because that's not going to make a difference to anybody. What happened before is not important. As long as the person is asking you the questions, they are not going to use that information to do something in the future. But if you just talking what happened, that's fine. It's not a problem. Chazal also tell us that only dibur is asur, only talking is asur, but one is allowed to think. Mutal laharer. You are allowed to think about your business on Shabbat. In other words, if you're just sitting there thinking about how the business is going to be tomorrow, what am I going to do tonight, who am I going to call, just thinking about it, that is mutar, bad. If the thinking is going to cause worries and not paying attention to your Shabbat, that also one should stay away from it. But or in general, thinking is not a problem. As long as you don't talk about it, that's not a problem. Altogether, one should not talk about sikha betela, like non-talking nonsense that one person should not do on Shabbat. By the way, a lot of people, they have ta'anid dibur, they don't talk on Shabbat altogether. They just talk about the varim shebe Shabbat, that you don't have to do that, but just some talking that thing that is not nogea to Shabbat, one shouldn't talk about. But let's say you want to talk about the happenings of the day. There's news, there's a lot of news happened during the week, and you want to talk about it, right? If you get ta'anuk, you get the pleasure out of that, you are allowed to talk about this type of things also. But you should be careful that things that is going to bring pain to people, and it makes people worry and sad, that you should not talk about that. Let's say there is a war somewhere, right? There's a bomb went off somewhere. Don't talk about this type of things. One should not talk about it, but talking about in general, do you know what happened this week? Do you know what happened with this policy and that policy? Just general information that you are allowed to talk about. One is allowed to talk about things, even though that things that is asur de kemelachot on Shabbat, as long as it's going to be lesorech mitzvah, or it's going to be lesorech rabin, which means if you want to do something for the community needs you to do something, you want to talk about it. Let's say you want to say, you know, I'm raising money for achnasat kalla tomorrow. How much you're going to pay? You are allowed to do that on Shabbat. Or let's say you're going to say, I'm going to drive to this neighborhood, to that neighborhood, to do something for a mitzvah. You are allowed to do that. Even though that things that you are going to do is asur b'ke melachot on Shabbat, but because you are doing it either l'sorech mitzvah or for l'sorech rabin, things that is important for a community, doing for everybody, then you are allowed to do that. Or even if you want to have a Saudat Berit the next day, Sunday, we want to talk about how you are going to put the Saudat Berit Mila together, what you are going to say, and what you are going to make, that you are allowed to talk about it on Shabbat. Also, even you could say that tonight I need to go buy bagels and cream cheese and this and that, you are allowed to talk about that also, as long as it's a Sorech Mitzvah. One is allowed to talk about Shiduchin on Shabbat also. Shidduchim is considered the bar mitzvah. You can't talk about anything that has to do with that. One is not allowed to run on Shabbat. Running also is not a person. The way that you talk and you walk has to be Shabbatic. Running also is not a proper thing to do, but one is allowed to run the Sorech Mitzvah, or let's say you are going to shul and you are late, you are allowed to run for that purpose. Now, the question is one allowed to run as an exercise? And so let's say you want to exercise, and you run every day half an hour, and could you run on Shabbat? Or let's say you have a treadmill at home, as long as it doesn't work with electricity, are you allowed to use them on Shabbat? Exercising is not a proper thing to do on Shabbat. It doesn't matter if it's not electricity or it's not melachot involved, but one is not allowed to run, one is not allowed to use a treadmill, any type of refuah, anything that looks like that you're doing it for the refuah purposes, one is not allowed to do that. But if somebody wants to walk, take a long walk, as long as you don't run, Even though that everybody knows when you take a long walk, don't put sneakers on. Just walk like in the Shabbos way, then you are allowed to do that on Shabbos, not a problem. But people that they put their sports shoes and dress and everything like that, and they walk outside, that's not a proper thing to do Shabbat. You have to have your Shabbos clothing on and walk properly. But putting shorts and sneakers and t-shirts and walk outside, even though that walking by itself is mutar, but the dress code also one has to be careful to keep it in the Shabbistic way. The same way that one is not allowed to sell on Shabbat, you are not allowed to give gifts on Shabbat either. Gift also is not a proper thing to do. Now, let's talk about that for a minute. What is that mean, giving gifts? There's two things that a lot of people are interested to do on Shabbat. One is, you want to give, let's say you're going to a bar mitzvah, you want to give the bar mitzvah boy a sefer, right? You see in the shuls, like we do it here, with a lot of synagogues, they give a gift to the bar mitzvah boy on Shabbat. How can you do that? Or let's say you have a bar mitzvah boy, or you go to a sheva brachos, and you give something as a gift to somebody, and you are not going to see them anymore next day. You're going out of town, or that's the only time you have the opportunity to give them. How can you give that type of gifts on Shabbat? One way that you can do, if you take that gift and give it to somebody on Friday, and say, I'm going to give you this gift, I want you to take this for this person. Then that gift was given to that from Erev Shabbat, and you transferred it from you to him through somebody else. That you are allowed to do. That's one way that one is allowed to do that. There are some say that you are allowed to give a gift altogether on Shabbat. It's not a problem. Or a Ovadia holds that you are allowed to give gifts as long as there's not a piece of land that you are giving. You're giving something, piece of object, then he holds that it's mutar. But the minhag ha'olam is that people, if they want to give a gift, they do it in a way that they transfer it to somebody else, and they're asking him, please take this for so and so, that they should take it for him, and you give it to him tomorrow. Another thing that is really applicable, giving gifts, you go to somebody's home Friday night, take wine, right, or take cakes or anything, food. You are allowed to do that as long as that food or that whatever you're taking is usable for Shabbat. And that was when you take food, yain or cake or nuts, whatever you're taking, they could use it. Even though the host is not going to use it, it's not a problem. But as long as it's usable, the person could use it, then it becomes, for your purposes, it becomes like onek Shabbat. It looks like if you're putting it in for somebody's use on Shabbat, then it's not a problem. You could give it to them on Shabbat also. The next halacha, again, we said it before, I'm jumping from one to, I'm trying to cover most of the things that is very, very applicable for, because that's the last class tonight. If somebody works on Shabbat, I'm talking about the things that are permissible to do. Let's say you are babysitting. You are not allowed to accept a wage on Shabbat. You are not allowed to get paid only for Shabbat. Right? Therefore, let's say you work as a waiter. You go to a Seuda, that they have this in a lot of yeshivot. Boys, they work, that's the way they make money. They work Friday night, Shabbos morning as a waiter, and they sell food to everybody. Or you are a babysitter. Let's say somebody calls you, say, would you please babysit for me for Shabbos morning or Friday night, Shabbos afternoon? Then they give you, let's say you work for 10 hours, they give you $100. You are not allowed to take that money. Because Sahar Shabbat, the money that was made on Shabbat, one is not allowed to do it. How could you work then? The way to do it is, if somebody hires you for Shabbat, they have to hire you for Sunday also, then if they put it together, Let's say you work 15 hours, they pay $150 as the abla, they call that, that is included, Shabbos and weekday, together, then you are allowed to take that money. But if you do it only for Shabbat, then you are not allowed to do that. But you are, hold the question, but if a goy worked for you, let's say you have a goy that now came work only Shabbos. They came, they sat, babysat for you. They are not going to see them Sunday, they want their money from Mosai Shabbos. You are allowed to give it to them. For them, it's not a problem of Sechar Shabbat. Sechar is only for a Jew. If you hire the Jew, then you have to make sure that they walk next day to give the money together. But if the person was not Jewish, could pay them, don't have to hire them next morning, and it's not a problem. The other thing that you don't have to do it, the Ablai could pay them right away, if the person was doing it, the Sorech Mitzvah. In other words, let's say you call a doctor. Doctor, the room doctor comes into your house, or you have a nurse, or somebody is going to take you to the hospital. They just worked for you on that period of time, which was Shabbat. You are allowed to pay them for that amount of time. It does not have to be the Abla'a, doesn't have to work during the week. You could just pay them the way if they worked only on Shabbat. The next Salacha is weighing yourself. One is not allowed to weigh themselves. I'm talking about if the weight is not works with the electricity, works by without it. So one is not allowed to do that. But let's say you have a child. The child needs to be weighed the way all every day. You need to know how much they're eating, how much you give them, and you need to weigh them. For that purpose, if Sorech is considered a Sorech Chole, you are allowed to weigh them as long as the weigh does not work with electricity or battery. Then you are allowed to do that. Or let's say you need to weigh food. You want to know how much to give to your child. If it's a Lesorech of a Chole or Lesorech Mitzvah, somebody is sick, you need to know exactly what to give them, or you're doing it for a Sorech Mitzvah, which is, let's say, Yom Kippur or Pesach night. You need to know how much matzah you have and all that. Then you are allowed to weigh them on also. If you need to figure out if somebody has a fever, right? A thermometer, you are allowed to do that as long as they don't work with chashmal, they don't work with electricity or battery, that you are allowed to do that also. You could use that on Shabbat too. The next halacha. One is not allowed to read documents, business documents, or property documents, or advertisements, any of this type of thing that is not Shabbatic, even if you are not interested to buy anything. Let's say you're looking at newspapers, all these sales, and you're looking at how much this costs and that costs, you have no interest to buy them. Still, one is not allowed to do that. Therefore, if somebody goes to shul on Shabbat, there are a lot of these ads on the bulletin board. One is not allowed to look at them. If you are not, if that's mamash devarim shebechol, you are not allowed to look at them on Shabbat. If you are walking the street and you see from the window there's a beautiful clothing or dress hang there, but you just want to look at them, you are not looking at the price. Just looking at the clothes, you are allowed to do that as long as you don't read the pricing. One is allowed to read any signs or any advertisement as long as it's a Sorech Mitzvah, you are allowed to look at them. The question really is, are you allowed to read these things that they sent from Torah school to your house? Could you read those on Shabbat? That's what they call them, daf what?
Spotlight.
Okay. That, you are allowed to do that. You are allowed to read those because there are things for your children, anything that has to do with the chinuch of your children, then you are allowed to read. There's no advertisement there. You are allowed to do that. Reading on Shabbat, let's say somebody wants to read physics or math or let's say you are a doctor, just want to read books, has to do with medicine. Mishnah Berurah says that a person should try not to do that, but if he gives you a ta'anug, gives you a pleasure to do that, then you have nothing else to do, that's the only thing you can do, then you could do that. But otherwise, one should stay away from this type of things also. Or the same thing, if somebody wants to sit down and read telephone books, I don't know who does that. So you say you want to sit down, read, memorize addresses or telephone numbers. People do that, by the way. Or just want to sit down and read cookbooks. I just want to read. It's not. You are not getting. Just gives you a pleasure to do that. That also one should stay away from this type of things. Not the proper things. Not the Shabbat sticker things to do. Now, what about if somebody has a test? You have a test, and you want to study on Shabbat. But the test does not involve writing. Obviously, writing is asur. But you just want to read, just sitting down studying through reading. Mishnah Berurah also says again that one should not do that. But b'sha'at adachak, if somebody has the limud kodesh, it's not a problem. If you're reading, let's say you have a test on Gemara, on Chumash, or anything like that, that's not a problem. But if you're doing it limudei chol, one should not do that. Only b'shat adachak is not much is a necessity for you. Otherwise, you are not going to pass the test, or there's no other time to do it. Then b'shat adachak, one is allowed to read it. Now, the obvious question is one allowed to read newspapers? Everybody gets newspapers, and one of the pleasures that people have on Shabbat to read either Yated or Amodia or Mishpacha. That's what everybody does. Or Bina, right? It's four newspapers. That's the only four newspapers that I know is you could read. Are you allowed to read this type of newspapers and magazines on Shabbat? The problem is that even though that they try to put mostly the Divrei Torah and biography and all that, and they do a very good job, by the way, and as I really recommend everybody should read this newspaper, they try to put very good information, and they have really biographies of Gedolim every week. So it's an important newspaper, and the from world should support this newspaper, that they should go on. They should have this type of news for the full community. It's an important thing. But they, on Shabbat, the thing is that they have other news in there that is not Shabbistic. You are allowed to read these newspapers as long as you don't read the parts that is not proper to be read on Shabbat. Therefore, if you have this biography is mutar, or things that has to do with the stamsh to your, that has nothing to do with anything. You know, that piece that has news and I don't know what, there's a place there that just nonsense there, that you just want to read those are allowed to do that. But otherwise, one should, for sure, one is not allowed to look at advertisements or the business part of it, one is not allowed to look at. But anything else that it gives you a ta'anug, gives you a pleasure to look at it, if somebody wants to be a maker, you are allowed to do that. I can't say you are not allowed to read newspaper, that I cannot say, but one should try to stay away from things that is not Shabbat. Read the stuff that is Shabbat. Reading letters, let's say you get a letter. If you get a letter, somebody brings you a letter on Shabbat, and open, somebody opens it, give it to you, and you never read it, you are allowed to read it on Shabbat. But if you read a letter already, let's say you have a letter you got a few days ago, you want to do chazara, you want to review, right? You're just taking and reading it over again. One should not do that. But other, let's say you want to read a book, you have a book that you're reading, let's say biography book or whatever, no, not the goisha books that some people do. Again, I can't say it's asur to do that. It gives you pleasure. That's your own Shabbos. That I can't say it's asur, but it's not. Should try not to do it. Okay. The next halacha is next part. I'm going to go through. I want to talk about a lot of different electronic things that we have in our homes. I just want to go through them and give you a little idea to what, which one of them are mutar, which one of them is asur. Now, one of the, again, all the things I'm going to say are the things that really all of us are involved with them, and it's some in one way or another we are in touch with them. If you go into a house that there is electric eye, right, and the door, let's say you walk in, you stay here, the door opens up by itself, or you walk into there's some sensor there that the door opens up, you are not allowed to use that on Shabbat. But what about if you want to get into somewhere, the only way, let's say you get into somebody's apartment building, the only way you could get in is through this door. If somebody goes, opens the door, could go after them. What happens if that person that walks in is a Jew? What happens if a Jew that doesn't, you know, is not aware of this and he walks in, and are you allowed to go after them? That also you are allowed to do that. You don't have to wait for a non-Jew to open up the door. What about if you go to an apartment building, you have to stand there, they look at you, they want to see who you are, they take your picture, they look at the TV, and then they open the door for you. Right? What happens if that's the only way you could get in, you are allowed, in koma sorech, there's no other way, you are allowed to do that also. There are some people say, again, you are talking about the situation that there is no way around it, then you are allowed to go through these buildings also. Now, what happens if you're going through a street? Walking to the street, there's a sensor, the light goes on. Not a problem, you could walk in, you could go anywhere you want to go. When the light comes up, it's not a problem. But what happens if you walk into a house, or a room, and while you're walking in, the lights go on? That you are not allowed to do. The difference between these two cases are that the first case is the pesik resha. The lone, if I don't care, the lights, I'm walking anyway. And that's my way to go home. Like the street, I have to go through the street anyway. But you go to a room and the light goes on, the only reason you're walking into that room, because the light goes on, then you're getting the direct ana'ah, the direct pleasure and benefit from the walk of Shabbat, then you are not allowed to do that. This halakha comes to play if you are in a hotel, or you go to you're on the airport on Shabbat, you know. But the hotel is more shayach. You walk into a bathroom, the light goes on, right? And that's the only bathroom there. There's no other bathrooms. What are you supposed to do? All the bathrooms are the bathroom. Then you go in, that's what you got. The problem is that it's mamash a problem. That's a problem. But what happens if by mistake somebody went in, didn't know the light goes on, he walked in, right? The lights are on. When you go out, the light goes off. Oh, what should you say that all Shabbos? What are you supposed to do? Then the halacha is that you are allowed to get out. You could do that because that's a persecution. The lo neichal in the rabbanan. You are allowed to do that. But to lechatechila to go in, that you are not allowed to do. House that has alarm systems, you have to make sure you unhooked your alarm system before Shabbat. Now what happens, a lot of times you unhook your alarm system, but these lights are there, the lights go, you walk into a room, the light goes on, you get out of the room, the light goes off. What about for those lights? That you can, some systems you could unhook those lights also, some systems you can't. What you can do, you should cover them before Shabbat. But what happens if you walk into somebody's home? They didn't do that. You walk the door, walk in, the lights go on. The small lights I'm talking about. You are allowed to do that. That's not a problem. You could go in, could go out. It's not a problem. But you should try to make sure that that is unhooked or covered before Shabbat. If you have a bathroom in your basement, the bathrooms, that people that bathroom their basement, they have a pump that pumps it out. If the pump is in a way that pumps out every time you flush, you are not allowed to use that. But if you have a pump that doesn't take out every time, there was, when it fills up, goes out, then you are allowed to use those. Most of them are like that. Most of the pumps that they have in the basement are those that they don't pump out every time. They wait for the bucket to fill up, then they take it out. Those you are allowed to use. Yeah, that's most of them are like that. What about if you go to a hotel, and the hotels today, none of them have keys. They have magnet cards. That what do? You are obviously, one is not allowed to use them on Shabbat, but also you are not allowed to ask a goy to open it for you. By the way, you cannot ask a goy directly to open it for you. So there are two things you can do. One, either you have to ask them before we go to a hotel, say, listen, I can't use this magnet, I need a room that has the keys. And they have to disarm the magnet before Shabbat. If they can do that, then two things you can do. You could put something by the door does not close up all the way, or if let's say you cannot do that, it can't leave your door open the whole Shabbat, you have expensive stuff in there. What you can do, you could say to the goy that I have something important in my room, I need to get it out, I cannot get in. I forgot my keys, I lost my keys, whatever it is, then they have to open the door for you too. But you cannot tell them directly to open the door, that's mamash sumidoraita, those keys are the electricity. Warmer cabinets. That if you have, I don't think people have that in their homes, they have in the hotels, and caterers use that, you are allowed to leave the food in there before Shabbat, don't need a blech for them, but you are not allowed to return food in there, and cannot put food from the refrigerator inside them either. The only thing you can do, if a food was cooked before Shabbat, could leave them for Friday night, or if you want to leave them till Shabbat morning, you can do that, but you cannot return anything in there. Now, the another halacha that happens to a lot of people, unfortunately, if you forgot to take the light out of your refrigerator, and it comes Friday night, and you have food, all your food is sitting inside your refrigerator, what should you do? Obviously, one is not allowed to open the door. Also, you are not allowed to ask a goy to open it for you. You cannot ask a child, a minor, also to open it for you. There are a few things you can do. One is, we're talking about the shat adachak, by the way. It's not a simple situation. They're talking about somebody's food is there. There's no other way to get the food out. You could ask a goy to unplug the refrigerator. You could do that. And also, you could ask the goy to unscrew the light. That also you can do. But that's why we have to tell them the derech remez. You cannot tell them straight. And what happens if somebody did not know, you open the door, and then you find out the light is on, you cannot close it. What should you do? You should put a towel or a piece of paper there that for the door not to close all the way. What happens if you are not sure if you have your light on or no, right? Didn't pay attention. You don't know if you unscrewed your light before Shabbat. What you can do, could open it with your arm, the refrigerator door, could open klachar yad, but again, cannot close it. You have to, somehow, you have to figure out a way to either we have to put a piece of paper or a towel there for it not to close up. If you have those lights that they have sensor that it goes on when the room is dark, should not use them for Shabbat. Problem with those lights are when you are in a room, you close the shade, the light goes on. Or let's say you walk in next to them, you also same thing. Like they become dark, the light goes on, right? You cannot use them on Shabbat. What happens again? We're talking about the situations that happened already. You go to somebody's home, you walk in somewhere, you walk into the bathroom, and the light goes on. This light comes on. What should you do? You have to stay there all Shabbat, you have to stay next to the light all Shabbat. What should you do? That you could move, you can get out. If you have no other way, you don't have to stay there, you could get out. Now, what happens if you are in a bathroom? Again, there are bathrooms today, you don't have to flush. Flushes by itself. There are sensors there, that the walk is sensor. You didn't know, use the bathroom. Now, or let's say there's no other bathroom. That's the only bathroom available. You are allowed to use that on Shabbat if there is no other choice. And so it's the only thing you can do, you are allowed to do that. Another thing that they have also, you have this faucet, you wash your hand, it works. You put your hand there, the water comes out. What happens also, a lot of times you take your hands out, the water goes off. Right? If you did it, you wash your hand with this type of faucet, you should take your hand off when the water is coming down. Don't wait for the water to stop, then take your hands out. Then just take it when the water is coming up. All this halachot, only if it happened, you have to make sure that you don't get into the situation that this type of things could happen to you. To make sure to avoid this electrical situations. Today there are so many different technologies that makes our life harder, not easier. In one way it's easier, but for a full Jew, is not an easy situation.